It's sung by the other Bassett sister.
Bless
her. By Carolyn Sharon and my mom's sister. And she was accompanied by her husband who played the guitar on the song, which he's no longer with us. He's gone to heaven. But I heard this first time at my uncle's funeral, and I just, the song just touched my heart.
Hey, man.
Bless her, Lord.
Bless her, Lord.
Bless her, Lord. That set them free from. Man, one day I'll lead the parade. Amen. Amen. Good job, Eric.
Yeah, good job.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
This song I'm going to sing here, everybody here knows I'm a huge Elvis Presley gospel fan. 90% of the songs I sing are Elvis Presley songs. I was reading something last night on this song right here. He recorded this in 1975. The name of it's Help Me. Yeah. And at that time in his life, he was spiraled out of control. And that's why he recorded this song, because he was asking for help.
Yeah.
Amen.
Here we go. Help me.
Yeah.
Lord, help me walk another mile.
I'm tired of walking all alone. Lord, help me smile another smile, just one more smile. You know I just can't make it on my own.
Hey, mate.
I never thought I needed help before. I thought that I could get by myself.
Somebody Elvis Presley, you don't know. Guarantee you don't. Whose is this, brother? Hey, Brother James back there. Amen, buddy. Hallelujah. Let me tell y'all something about Elvis Presley you don't know. Anybody remember TVN?
Yeah.
Jane and Paul. Remember that?
Yeah.
Old Brother Eddie got saved 32 years ago. Hungry and thirsty for God. I mean, I just couldn't get enough.
Come on, brother.
About 3 o'clock in the morning, I saw something on TBN to this day. I still remember it in great detail. Elvis Presley had a half brother. I don't remember his name, but he was quite a bit younger than Elvis. Here's what he told. He said Elvis loved the Lord. And all he wanted to sing was gospel songs. He'd steal away at like 3 o'clock in the morning to sing with the Blackwood brothers and with the Oak Ridge brothers and a bunch of other gospel groups because he loved to sing gospel music. He loved the Lord. The world made a mess of Elvis. Listen, it'll make a mess of you.
Yeah.
It will.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Let's sing our home. And you go and let the world have its way. Next thing you'll do is what his half brother said. Now y'all listen to this real good. He said we was at a meeting. He said I was setting the stage for my elder brother. And he said I'd get everything ready and I'd go get him and say I've got everything ready. You're ready to go down, you know, and sing.
Yeah.
He said the younger hack brother come up to his elder brother and Elvis is in the hotel room and he said I've got everything ready, but he said I want to tell you something before you go. Then Elvis said okay. He said as I was getting everything ready, he said a little girl come up to me and she said you need Jesus in your life. And he said when he told his older brother what this young girl said to him, you know what Elvis said? He said, she told you right. And this younger half-brother said, I left the room And when I came back, I found my elder brother in the bathroom, dead. He didn't want to live. It's miserable. It's miserable to be in predicament when you love the Lord and the world is having its way with you and they made you something you don't want to be and you can't even enjoy success. The younger half-brother said he went in there and deliberately took his life. Overdosed. Laying in the bathroom dead. So think about that. Elvis loved the Lord. Elvis wanted to sing gospel songs. There just wasn't no... Back then, everybody was starving to death. It was a time of great poverty. There wasn't no money in it. But every chance he got, he went and sung the Lord's songs. And thank God. You know, we've all got a little bit of that in us. The world tries to call us. The world tries to turn us. The world tries to woo us. We've got to keep our mind on the Lord. Amen. Boy, I enjoyed every bit of the singing this morning.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
Every bit of it. I've got notes over here. And then I've got the message. Amen. Quite a long message. I'm glad you come. Amen. Let me make a couple announcements real quick before we preach. Two Sundays from now, we're having a homecoming service here at the church. I couldn't get out of it, so they've whatever you want to call it, entrap me. I'll be doing the preaching. Sorry. I was kind of hoping we'd get a good preacher in here, somebody with some clout to him, somebody, you know, might preach us something worth hearing, but unfortunately, you're going to be listening to old Brother Eddie at the homecoming. They said, Brother Eddie, we got family coming, and they want to hear you preach, so pray for me. Pray for me, God will be able to have His way. I'm looking forward to the homecoming service, looking forward not just to the fellowship and the good food, but I'm kind of hoping the Lord will give us a set of good meal on there for us, spiritually too. But remember us, September the 20th, we're going to have our homecoming. Won't be no Sunday school teaching that Sunday. We'll go from singing to preaching, and hopefully the Lord will put His blessing on our efforts. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Psalms chapter 14. Get your good old King James Bible out. Psalms chapter 14. I must admit, I'm pretty lean this morning. The Lord just kind of stirred my heart about this scripture. And I'll just be honest with you, I didn't even know where it was. I mean, the Holy Spirit does its work.
Yes,
it does. And He dealt with me about this scripture to the point that I went and got my little old Franklin Electric Concordance and looked it up and found out where it was, Patrick. I mean, thank God this little pea brain of mine, it just can't contain the great knowledge of this Bible. But that little old Franklin electronic concordance, you type in part of a verse and it'll say, here it is, boy.
Right.
So anyway, I was able to find it thanks to that little old concordance. But I have to admit, I was familiar with this verse. The verse that the Holy Spirit brought to my mind was verse number 2. Of Psalms chapter 14. And that is going to be our text verse, but I'm going to read the entire chapter because it's only like 7 verses to Psalms chapter 14. Verse number 2 is our text verse, and it's what the Holy Spirit stirred my heart about at work. I'm out there, I'm vaguely remembering it, but I remembered it enough to find it. But in Psalms 14 verse 1, it starts out, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And we've come down to that day. I'll hit on that here in a minute. We've come down to a day they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. They want to do away with God. They can't, but they want to.
Amen.
But the fool has said in his heart, there is no God.
Yes.
They are corrupt. We've got them. They have done abominable works, and they sure do. Still doing them today. And there is none that doeth good. That's our text verse. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Verse 3, they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the world. workers of iniquity, no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread. In other words, they take advantage of people. Has anybody ever heard of compound interest?
Amen.
That means you buy a house for about $50,000, pay both for 30 years, end up giving about $300,000 for it in the long run. Who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord. That's the last person you'll call the Lord. Verse 5, there were they in great fear. Now, this same scripture is kind of mentioned over in Psalms 53, almost word for word. And I do want to quote on one verse in Psalms 53, but I'll do it here in a minute. There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. All that salvation of Israel will come out of Zion when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. Now Jacob and Israel are one and the same. God changed Jacob's name to Israel when he won in that wrestling match with God. Thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. But they're one and the same. But we're preaching today. Do we understand? Pray with me right now. Father, we thank you for the blessings of this week. We thank you, Lord, for the grace that, Lord, you give us this week, Lord, that most of us took for granted. Lord, we're here today by divine appointment. Father, I pray you'll help us today. Open our eyes. I pray, dear Father, open our eyes with eyes saved. Lord, may our eyes, I pray, be clear today to be able to see, Lord, the great truths that I hope to be able to tell today. Open our ears, dear Father God, today that we may be able to hear and receive the great truths that I'm praying, God, you'll help me to tell today from the Word of God. Open our hearts today, Father. Let there be room for thy Word. Let, I pray, the Holy Spirit have its way today with our heart. Lord, in this service, with the ones that are here and the ones that will hear this message by way of the internet. Father, I don't claim to be any great preacher. These people put up with me and I'm thankful for them. Lord, I wouldn't fit in everywhere. I know, Lord, that I'm just a small, very, very small preacher. But I'm thankful, Father, that you did count me faithful and you put me in the ministry, and I plan to do all this little preacher can do, Father, in the time that you've given me. May glory and honor be given you today. Through lips of clay, I give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, before I preach here, I want to call attention to what I said there just a minute ago. I said this pretty much the same text is repeated in Psalms chapter 53. And you can look with me real quick if you want to. Psalms chapter 53. And it's pretty much word for word except verse number 5. And the reason I want, for time's sake, go straight to verse number 5 is I got a point I want to make. There were they in great fear where no fear was. Now, this don't really fit like I thought it would. But, you know, we've been made to be afraid here lately.
Yeah.
Bunch of fear mongering going on, and I just want to clear the air just a little bit. I'm like everybody else. I kind of got swallowed up in this too. You never know. There's so much, stop being put today on science. You know, we're following science. We're going with science. The Bible talks about so-called science. I'm going with God. I don't care what they say, I'm going with God. Amen.
Amen.
But science has, you know, kind of hoodwinked us just a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, the CDC, Center of Disease Control, announced, and I heard Brother Lee Watts bring it to light yesterday on the radio program, that they have announced that, you know, it's the Center of Disease Control, that 94% of the report of deaths by COVID-19 are fraudulent and false.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Fear where no fear was. We're afraid of something that we've been made to be very afraid of, when really it's just kind of, more people died of the regular flu than COVID-19.
Right.
I just want to clear the air on that real quick. You know, I was kind of glad to hear that myself. Maybe you'll be glad to hear it too. I mean, you know, it kind of makes you think twice now about wearing a mask. He said, I don't want to get political, maybe I shouldn't say this, but they're trying to pass a law called Kentucky Law. It's law number 214036. And it's the mandatory vaccination law.
Yeah.
Our governor's pushing it because of the special powers given unto him through the falsehood of the COVID-19. We've got to have what's called emergency regulations, and he's appointed a team to implement this law. Lee Watts said, call the one that's running for Kentucky Senate. Don't call your senator. Call the one that's running for Kentucky Senate. Call the one that's running for Kentucky representative. Tell them you want this thing repealed immediately.
Right.
And tell them you don't want to be made, mandatorily made, to take the vaccine. Look, if you want to take the vaccine, by all means, take it. But I don't want nobody telling me what I'm going to do. And I'm going to get off all of that.
Amen.
Let me throw this in real quick. You got a stacked deck coming up for November. It's my other note here. And look, this for thought. Just put this in your mind for a minute. Your vote, your vote. I'm not trying to sway you. I'm just trying to inform you. I'm going to vote my vote. You're not going to tell me how to vote, and I hope I don't tell you how to vote. But on the ticket for November, just put this in your mind for a minute. Just let it occupy your mind for just a minute. We'll preach. On the ticket of Biden and Harris, you're going to get Hillary Clinton. You're going to get Lion Susan Rice. You're going to get Michelle Obama. You're going to get his vice president, Kamala Harris, which was quoted saying, write and don't stop. Hello?
That's right.
She said, even after the election, write and don't stop. I'm not voting for that. You go ahead if you want to. You're going to get Elizabeth Warren, and you're going to get Bernie Sanders and AOC. Now I'm done with the politics of this message today. I feel a whole lot better. You might not like it, but look, it's your vote. Yeah. You can vote responsibly, or you know, you can vote. It's your vote. You do whatever you want with your vote. Amen.
Amen.
But I'm preaching today on do we understand? In my verse, I want to reread verse 2. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Now, we say we do. We think we do. According to the Bible, none of us do.
Right.
Now, King Nebuchadnezzar, he had to learn the hard way. And there's plenty of people out there just like him in Daniel chapter 4. And we do want to turn there real quick because I think it would probably help in this message. You see, we all think, you know, that we know more than what we know and all that. But he was king, and he thought, you know, he could do whatever and not have to really pay no attention to what God had said. And God warned him like 3 times. And the reason I said he had to learn the hard way, look at verse number 32. Well, let's read verse 31. You know, it'd probably be good to read verse 30. And the king spake. He's making his own problem here. And the king spake and said, is this not great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. I want you to know he'd been warned about this moment. While the word was still in the king's mouth, there fell, oh, I didn't read it. Verse 32, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee eat grass as an oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee. 7 years eat grass. Until thou know but the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Now, he had understanding. And he had warning. But he didn't heed the warning.
Right.
And giveth it to whomsoever he will. God had given him this position in life. There was none greater than him. But he thought he was big enough to say and do whatever he wanted. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my what? My understanding returned unto me. Now he's getting it now. I mean, it might be the slow train, but he's getting it now, Joanne. He said, my understanding came back. He said, I'm thinking right now. But he had to learn the hard way. He said, my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? And at the same time my reason returned unto me, for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me. I was established in my kingdom, and His excellent majesty was added unto me. In other words, you got a haircut. In verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and His ways judgment, and those that walk in pride He's able to abase. Now I'm preaching about understanding. Nebuchadnezzar, he did understand, but the hard way. Jesus rebuked His disciples in John chapter 15, verse number 16, about our understanding. And I do want to go there. Now I'll try to preach as fast as I can, but I feel led to do what I'm doing here. And Jesus says, are you yet without understanding? Look at verse 10. He called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Evidently they didn't do it. So He brings it to their attention in verse 16, talking to His disciples about, Peter says in verse 15, Peter said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? And He gave an answer to him. But He rebuked him also in the next chapter, in Matthew 16, verse 9. He says, do you not understand? Neither remember. Now this is about the leaven of the Pharisees. The other was about a parable. You know about blind leading blind and all that. But Jesus rebuked them for not understanding what He was saying. They wasn't listening. Sometimes He goes in one ear and out the other ear. And somebody said, what did He say? But the Bible tells us the terrible truth about understanding.
Yeah.
Here's the terrible truth. We're going to be preaching for quite a while in Romans chapter 3, so just go ahead and go there. But the terrible truth about understanding is, verse 11 of Romans chapter 3, there is none that understandeth. Now we all think we do.
Yeah.
We all think we've arrived.
Right.
We all think, oh yeah, I done forgot more than most people know all that. You know, we get there, we do that. But the Bible tells us, not one single one, none, understand. Now Nancy Pelosi, she just went into some kind of hair salon, and for some reason or other she didn't put her mask on, and I mean, she's the one, you know, that's hammering, you know, you gotta wear your mask. So she gets caught in her own trap, and she's blamed everybody but herself. Somebody said she broke every mirror in there, called it a lie. But you see what I'm talking about here is, there's none that understand.
That's right.
We got plenty to think they do. We got some, you know, if you could buy them for what they're worth and sell them what they think you're worth, you could own Fort Knox.
That's right.
But none. The Bible says we're all in the same boat. We're all just animated dirt balls. God wants us to understand. God's willing to help us understand. But we got to also be willing to let God help us understand. And in this category I'm preaching about today, let me just say this. Science is at a loss. The most brilliant is in darkness. The young don't understand. That means Caden. I know you think you know you're way ahead of Miranda and Mark. You know you're sitting there like you know. Hey, look, I'm a little bit. You know, I have to admit, my granddaughter she can go to a computer hook pop. Yeah. I'm sitting there with one finger.
Yeah.
Hey, she says it's easy. Look, she gets a smartphone and my finger won't even fit on the thing. You know? I mean, she's just going like, crazy. I agree, you got the advantage there. But we're not talking about that kind of stuff here. We're talking about some serious understanding. Now, you may have a little bit of advantage over Mark and Miranda, but you're in the same category as the rest of us. I wasn't picking on you because you sit up against the wall just yet to be in there. You're young, you're close to the front, and you couldn't hide behind Donnie. So anyway, young don't understand. The old, the ancient don't understand. I was telling Donnie, hey, buddy, I not only used to have my hair parted, but now it's departed. Hey, man. Triangle wiggles, I used to do this. Now I just look in the mirror about like a fun. The hell says, comb it. Nothing to gain. Now, his was perfect. Mine's gone. Anyway, the young don't understand. Neither do the ancient understand. But let me say this. There is a hint. It's found in Galatians chapter 4. Your turn there. There's a hint about the understanding that we're lacking. I'm glad God's on the throne.
Amen.
I really am.
Amen.
I'm glad He's got the say. Man, I'm glad Washington ain't in control. Amen.
Amen.
But in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, talks about understanding. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Why? To redeem them that were under the law, which is us, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
Amen.
Hey, listen.
Amen.
He's God the Son. Patrick, I'm a son of God. Mm-hmm. Sarah, you're a daughter of God.
Yeah, that's right.
I got in.
Right.
I got about me, but I'm in, amen. I'm all about that, James. I got in, buddy. Hey!
Amen.
I want you to know I got in something good, amen.
Amen.
I want you to know my Father owns it all, glory
amen.
To God. Hey! None greater than Him.
Amen.
Woo! Man, you miss heaven. You miss it all.
Amen.
I mean, glory to God, I'm as good as there already. Carolyn, I'm seated together in heavenly places right now in Christ Jesus. I'm part of the body of Christ. May not be much of an accent, but I'm part of it. I might not be nothing but a little toe, but I'm part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen, Sister Carolyn. This fullness of time. See, God, He winks at the wisdom of this world and commands men everywhere to repent.
Yeah.
And men may not, but they should. But in the fullness of time, God sent His Son down here. What do you mean the fullness of time, Brother Eddie? Well, go back about Genesis chapter 3. You'll see what I mean. Genesis chapter 3. Look at verse 15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Talking about the serpent and the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head. First thing I think of, Brother Mitchell, when I see a snake is a stick.
Right.
And if he ain't fast enough, buddy, I'm telling you right now, he slithers off.
Right.
Not nowhere close like he would have before he got on the count of this stick. And if I can, but he ain't going nowhere, I'm going to beat him to pulp. That enmity, it still exists today. And I do want to bruise the head of every serpent I see.
Yeah.
And thou shalt bruise his heel. Talking about Jesus. The first mention of a Redeemer, the first promise of a Redeemer is mentioned in the last part of verse number 15. Jesus on the cross. had nail driven through his feet. Amen. The seed of the serpent thought he won at Calvary. And all he did was finally understand it was a plan of God. Jesus said, "Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" It wasn't no mistake. He needed Jesus. He needed Judas to betray him so he could be delivered into the hands of sinners and be crucified to redeem us from the curse. Amen. But here in the fullness of time, he came. He was mentioned there. He's mentioned in Isaiah chapter 7. For sake of time, I can't give you a lot, but I'm going to give you this. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." The name Emmanuel means God with us. Amen. I want you to know, glory to God, in the fullness of time, Emmanuel came into this world and growed up as a tender plant and fulfilled the mission he was sent to do. He finished the work on the cross. I want you to know, he said, "It's finished," glory to God.
Amen.
We may not understand it, but praise God, he did. He knew exactly. He told Pilate, he said, "He that delivered me to thee hath a greater sin." He knew exactly what was going on. Pilate said, "Art thou a king then?" "Jesus, thou sayest." I want you to know, buddy, there wasn't none that understood. There wasn't none. There's none that understands. Now I'm going to preach now. There's none that understands how guilty we are.
That's right.
Got to have help, Brother Mitchell.
That's right.
We do.
Amen.
You see, God chose the foolishness of preaching, Brother Steve.
Yes.
Oh, Brother Eddie, I thought I was as good as everybody else. I did. I looked at y'all and looked at me, and I thought, well, if they're going, I'm going.
Right.
I didn't have Jerry's hair, but I was a little younger than him. And I thought, well, if he's going, I'm going. I mean, what's the difference? The long side, we're about the same height. His shoulder about as wide as mine are. Amen. If he's going, I'm going. See, we need help.
Amen.
See, that Ethiopian eunuch, as he's reading that Bible in Acts chapter 8, he's reading it, but he ain't getting it.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit told Philip, "Go down and join yourself to that chariot." And he come down, and by the way, he was reading out of Isaiah chapter 53.
Yeah.
And in the scripture which he was reading, talking about Jesus being crucified, the Ethiopian eunuch said, "Of whom is this speaking, of himself or of another?" And Philip began in the same scripture.
Yeah.
And Brother Mitchell, he preached unto him Jesus. He said, "I want Jesus." Amen.
Amen.
Listen,
right.
I didn't know how guilty I was.
Mm-mm.
I thought I was as good as everybody else. But I want you to know, when I got the presence of preaching, Brother Danny, I realized old Brother Eddie didn't have a leg to stand on. I realized, like everybody else realized, I come short.
Yeah.
I mean, you read in the same chapter we're preaching out of, in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it doesn't say some came short, it said all come short.
Sure, right.
By the glory of God.
Amen.
I like just a little bit measuring up. I can measure up with Brother Jerry. I'm pretty sure if we backed up, we'd be about the same height.
Right.
I don't know what you weigh, 205, somewhere around there. Well, they're not different. They're all dead. But anyway, in some ways we got a lot of comparison. But when it comes to standing alongside Jesus, and I compare myself to Him, man, I come real short.
Yeah.
I mean, have to have a microscope to see it. But you know what he did? We'll get to that here in a minute. I didn't know how guilty I was, Patty. And I got in church, and a preacher got up, and I tell you what he preached about. Every idle word that men speak, they shall give account of in the day of judgment.
Right.
Said, well, that's kind of like pitching horseshoes in wrong with stop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had. I worked with this man. I mean, here I am in a church with a man I used to ride motorcycles with, worked with. He's up there preaching, and I'm sitting there thinking, I'm as good as he is. Mm-hmm. We're the same age, by the way. We're both 66 now. He finally caught up with me. I get there a little quicker than he does. And in the same year, we're the same age. And we are exactly. Well, I asked him that day what he weighed. We do weigh the same. So if Rick was here, I can prep myself for him pretty good. So he's up there preaching, Brother Donnie. And I'm back on the back row. And I have to admit, buddy, it was plowing my row, Simon. I mean, buddy, he's plowing deep too. And I'm kind of hiding back there, ain't no hiding. So anyway, I realized just how guilty I was that day I went. You know, a lot of people, they don't come to church. They still think, I'm just as good as Carolyn here. I'll be all right.
Yeah.
Carolyn is good. Yeah. But even Carolyn's not as good as Jesus.
Right.
And that's how good you got to be to go to heaven.
Thank you.
And I'll preach on that here in a minute. But everybody's in the trouble of having understanding, and they don't have the understanding to know what they need to do. We're all guilty. And listen, we're all included in the condemnation I mentioned in verse 23. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Notice verse 12 through 18, because this described your preacher before he got saved. They're all gone out of the way as me. They're all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. I got baptized. I baptized Brother Patrick the other Sunday. And my arm's still bruised, brother. But the day I got baptized, a man I worked with, he came up to me, Mark Bunch. He said, I refuse to believe that God could save someone like you. My mouth was an open sepulcher. I mean, you stick your head in the toilet, and that's about what my words were. It's pretty bad. He said, I can't believe God could save someone like you. I couldn't either, but he did it anyway.
That's right. Amen.
Their throat is an open sepulcher, smell like dead things. Their tongues they have used to see. I lied like a sailor. But don't look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. The Bible said we come forth in the womb speaking lies.
Amen.
Understand, we all have that problem.
Yeah.
I don't want to lie, it's just in my makeup. I mean, I'm just telling you, I'm a sinner by nature.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm saved by grace.
Amen. 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 That's right.
Oh my. I got a lot of looks on that. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Let me tell you something. There's women, the scorn of a woman, I'd rather have my wife shoot me than scorn me.
Yeah.
She cut me to the bone, Tammy. The one thing about Tammy, boy, she's been really posting on her website.
Yeah.
I encourage you to go look at some of the things she put on there. Because I got a blessing this morning, not only realizing it was Tammy that put them on there, but realizing how much hardships you went through to put them on there, and it's really good.
That's right.
Really good. Yeah. I appreciate that too, Tammy. I know if I got a blessing, somebody else got one.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. She done a fine job, and Carolyn does a fine job. And old Brother Eddie, all I try to do is try to keep messing up. Amen. But oh, listen. The poison of asp is under their lips. They, what's that old saying we. Grade school, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words shall never hurt me. Well, they do hurt.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, words of a talebearer are as wounds.
Amen.
Yeah, words hurt. I've seen it in people's eyes.
Right.
I've seen it. I've seen people get hurt. Someone saying something unceasing.
Right.
Like pulling out something that you shouldn't have done.
Right.
Like, what's wrong with you? I tell you what's wrong with them, what's wrong with you.
Right.
Man, listen, ain't none of us a picture of perfection, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They tried to find fault in Jesus, and there wasn't none. But they still tried to find something, but on us, it ain't no trouble. Hey, I got a bald head. Hey, I'm 66 years old. Hey, I understand I'm not as strong as I used to be. But you know what? He loved me.
Right.
He died for me.
Yes.
He gave his life a ransom for me. He's coming to get me, glory to God. And when he does, I'm making my exit. I'm kind of hoping we'll all exit on the same busload. But listen, if he comes for me before he comes for all, I'm leaving.
Amen.
You forget it. I'm leaving the first opportunity, amen. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. destruction and misery are in their ways. I'm looking at the clock. I can't really expound on this like I like to, so I'm skipping over a lot of this. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no fear of God before their eyes. They don't want anything to do with God.
Right.
They try to dismiss God. Brother Ed, they say, oh, that fairy book, fairy tale, they kind of make light of the Bible. They make light of God.
Yeah.
They try to dismiss it. I'm not listening to that. I don't want to hear that. But I'll tell you right now, but there may not be no fear of God before they're out. There's going to be some.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hell, read the end of the story. Amen. Read the last of Ecclesiastes. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for God will bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Oh, my. How guilty we are. Amen.
Amen.
We don't understand the forbearance of God. Look at verse 25. Look at that. Through the forbearance of God, God put up with me. I was that bitterness. I was that cursing. I was that evil. I was that the way of peace and the open sepulcher and the poison on the... That was me. The forbearance of God. Sir, God put up with me. I didn't get a bolt of lightning. I should have.
Yeah, right.
I got a bouquet of love.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Lord.
One of them don't have no understanding, Jerry. God's trying to love them. God's trying to help them. And all they do is blame God for everything don't go their way.
Right.
And they use God's name in vain. And they blame Him for this. And they blame Him for that. You know, Nancy Pelosi, first thing she did when she got caught with no mask on, she said, they set me up.
Yeah.
She made the appointment.
Yeah.
I couldn't help it. I'm sorry. That was kind of low. Anyway, that's what we do. We blame everybody but ourselves, amen?
That's right. We do.
The forbearance of God. The same God that gave wicked Jezebel space to repent. Revelation chapter 2, verse 21. It's the same God that gave wicked me and wicked you a space to repent. Amen. And He told us that wicked Jezebel repented not. Let that not be true with you, beloved. That, I don't know how big a space that was, but I know one thing. She ran out. I guess she thought, well, I made it through yesterday, I'll be all right today. And that was the day, buddy, that she was going to go out to meet God.
Yeah, right.
Can you imagine standing before your Creator and your Creator say, I gave you space to repent?
That's
and
right.
You repented not? It'd be a sad day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad, praise God, Brother Ed. I got down quick, buddy.
Yeah.
After I finally realized just how guilty I was.
Amen.
After I finally realized that the things, you know, that I didn't understand before and understood now, it didn't take me no time to find me a place of rest. I'll tell you how urgent it was, Brother Danny. I couldn't wait till Sunday.
Right.
I wanted to get saved at church. Yes, I did. But I couldn't wait that long. I'll tell you right now, I got saved at home because of the urgency of the matter. If something had to give, and it was me, amen. But the forbearance of God, He put up with me. Hey, He's long-suffering to me. Hey, He loved me, amen.
Amen.
We don't understand the forbearance of God. We don't understand the mercy of God that from a cross would say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. We don't understand that.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
That prayer that He prayed for us was honored. You can see that in Ephesians 4:32. It says, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. For Christ's sake, old drunk anyway, got forgiven.
Yeah.
Got a full pardon. Amen.
That's right.
The president just gave it, black lady, a full pardon.
Amen.
I got a better pardon than her. Amen.
Amen.
Hey,
right.
They might contest that pardon. Mine can't be contested, Joanne.
That's right.
Hold on a minute. I'm going to do like old Brother Bob up there in Ohio. Woo! Glory!
Amen.
Hey, I've got a full pardon. Amen. I've been abundantly pardoned. Glory to God.
Right. Amen.
I was telling this morning at Sunday school, I was listening, Brother Clarence Garrett preached on there, and he's talking about this preacher noticed everybody in the church was falling asleep.
Right.
So he took the message home and listened to it himself, and he fell asleep. And he realized the problem wasn't with the church, the problem was with him. And I don't want you to fall asleep, so I just want you to know, glory to God. Hey, he's saving old drunk like so quiet. Dad, we don't understand the mercy of God. We don't understand the forbearance of God. We don't understand just how guilty we are. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
And listen, it's bad. We don't understand the righteousness of God. Now you really listen good right here.
Yeah.
Old brother Eddie Hippie. Listen good. Because everybody's kind of got this all mixed up. Right. You know, we got all these different doctrines out there. Mm-hmm. All these different churches out there. Mm-hmm. All these different preachers out there. Me and Donnie's listening one way up here. And he was saying, you know, you had to have this. You had to have that. I don't care what people say. You got to do this. You got to do that. Mm-hmm. Well, let me sum all that up right here. We don't understand the righteousness of God. Yep. Look at verse 24 of Romans chapter 3. Now, remember, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 23.
Right.
Notice verse 24. Being justified, in Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Notice this. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, notice this, that He might be just.
Amen.
Only way God could be just.
Amen.
See, He's just, Mitchell.
That's right.
That means He's going to judge sinners.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
But in order to be just, He's got to make a way for me too.
Right.
That's right.
Scott. Because see, I got in on the mercy plan.
Yeah. That's right.
I got in on the grace of God. But to be just, He's still got to judge sin.
Yeah.
But in my case, I had my case thrown out of court.
Yeah.
I pled guilty.
Amen. That's right, man.
I said, I'm guilty.
Yeah. Right.
Jesus said, I died for it.
Yeah.
My blood was shed.
Amen.
Case dismissed.
Amen.
Had to get a lawyer, amen?
Amen.
Amen.
That He might be just. Because listen, God's going to judge the world.
Yeah.
Right. God's going to judge. Amen. Us are in a different category. We get to go before the judgment seat of Christ, not the great white throne judgment.
Amen.
Listen, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Who here? Just.
Yeah.
Justifier.
Amen.
That's a balanced God.
Yeah.
That He might be that He might be just, Brother Donnie, and the justifier.
Amen.
I'm justified.
That's right, brother. That's right.
Hey, thanks to Jesus.
Yes.
I'm justified.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He's still going to judge.
Yeah.
Praise God. I've been justified.
Yes.
He can still be God. But praise God, I've been pardoned by the grace of God. It said through the grace of God and through His forbearance, through His plan, through His understanding, He's still allowed to be just and allowed to be the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus.
Amen.
Man, I'll tell you what, you may not get that. But one day you'll be glad you did get it. I'll tell you that right now. Amen.
Amen.
Oh my. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, it puts it in these terms. He that hath the Son hath life.
Mm-hmm.
He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now there's no way to miss that.
Amen.
You either got Jesus or you don't have Jesus.
Yeah, right.
Jesus dealing with a bunch of sinners that didn't have the understanding enough to blow their nose.
That's right.
He said in John chapter 8, verse 42, He said, if God were your Father, you'd love me.
Right.
You got a bunch of people down here right now. They claim to be above. Matter of fact, they say Christians are a minority now. But they claim to be above Christians. And Joanne, they'll cut our head off.
Yeah.
And they think they've got not only the right to do it, but they think they're doing God's service by doing that. Wrong God, wrong doctrine, wrong everything.
Mm-hmm.
He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The very last verse of John chapter 3 says, if you don't have Jesus, the wrath of God abides on you.
That's right.
I want wrath. Say, well, I want mercy. I want grace. Amen. I want loads of dump truck loads. I got a train load, amen, from Calvary. I want you to know, praise God, I'm covered by the blood, and it covers everything. Hey, you got the haves and you got the have-nots mentioned there in 1 John chapter 5, verse 2,
right.
Verse 12. We don't understand not only how guilty we are, we don't understand the forbearance of God, we don't understand the mercy of God, we don't understand the righteousness of God, and last of all today,
amen,
we don't understand the judgment of God. Right now, it's waiting. Just like it waited in Noah's day. God done said, I'm going to destroy everything with the flood. And scientists said, that's not true. We done figured all this up. And I sent a calculator this morning. I've been looking for one in the house forever, Tammy. And I finally found one. I got it here now. I probably forgot where I put it. But anyway, I finally counted. Okay, well, they take it on this. No, it can't be no flood. It's never rained. It's impossible. Forget all the baloney. Let me tell you something, buddy. When the door of that ark shut, in the fullness of time, Brother Mitchell, when the door of that ark shut,
right.
All the science, so-called theories, all of the know-it-all, that people was giving more heed to them than to Noah. Noah preached, he's a preacher righteous, the Bible says. He preached for 120 years. What he preached, there's a flood coming, there's a flood coming. For 120 years, at the very first, I'm going to guess, Brother Jerry, people probably listened to him and said, this preacher guy, you need to hear it. But after, you know, about 120 years, Steve, they probably said, I've been hearing this for 120 years, ain't nothing changed. No pay attention to him. Well, let me tell you something. When that door of that ark shut, God told Noah, said, go thou in and your family. And Miss Noah, somebody asked me one time, what was Noah's wife's name? I spent a while on trying to find it. Her name was Miss Noah.
Miss
Noah. Yeah. Sam, Ham, and Japheth, and their three wives, they went in there, and two of every kind except the clean beast, seven of them, so they could offer a sacrifice for a sweet smelling to God, that God could smell it, and say there'd be, from that time on, there'd be seed time, harvest, and winter, and all that. God set everything in order. But that bunch that argues with God, that bunch that denies God, they said, we ain't seen no rain, much less a flood. They were concerned. Right now, the judgment of God is waiting.
Mm-hmm. No,
that's right.
Age of grace. Greatest, right. Greatest plan ever.
That's right.
I got in on grace.
Amen.
After grace is gone, you can still get in. Yeah. You read scriptures like, and I saw the souls of them which were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God. That's in tribulation. When you hear about the 144,000, 12 tribes of each of the 12 tribes of Israel, and after that I saw a multitude, no man can number of every kindred, tongue, and nation. And he said, what's all these? These came out of great tribulation. Yeah, you can get saved in tribulation. It ain't going to be with grace, old Patrick. You want to know how to get saved in tribulation? It's simple. You got to keep the Ten Commandments. Got to keep them, Brother Mitchell.
That's right.
Thank God I ain't got to keep them. I couldn't. If you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. I couldn't keep them.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm talking about that fullness of time. Jesus was born of a woman made up of the law to redeem me from the law because it was a curse to me. I couldn't keep it. You have to keep the Ten Commandments.
That's right.
In the tribulation. 7 years of it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to have the testimony of Jesus. That'll cost you something. That's why you're going to be beheaded.
That's right.
Here's the last thing.
Amen.
You'll have to love not your life unto death.
Right.
They're going to kill you.
Amen.
You ain't going to fit in. You're not going to be able to hide. You remember Peter didn't fit in down there among that bunch. They said, thy speech be ready. The people that do get saved in tribulation, well, they're going to have to love not their lives unto death.
That's right.
They're going to have to resist that mark, not get it. They'll starve to death. They won't be able to buy or sell. Without that mark, they're going to starve to death, going to be hunted like animals.
Yep.
I thank God for grace. I'm going with grace. All the way. I'll take grace any day.
Amen.
You want to go that other way? I don't know. I don't think you're going to make it, but you're more welcome. Help yourself. Amen. The judgment of God. The wrath of God. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 31 says it's a fearful thing fall into the hands of the living God. Man, I fell into His hands, amen, but it was loving hands. On the judgment side of God, hey, listen, you can read about Him. He'll tear you into pieces. I'm glad, praise God, I fell into the loving hands of God, amen.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3 tells us we won't escape. Romans chapter 1 verse 20 tells us there won't be no excuses. Revelation chapter 20 verse 1 tells us about the judgment of God. As a matter of fact, let's go there. Let's go there real quick. Romans chapter 20. I want to show you something here real quick. Romans chapter 20. I noticed this morning. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them.
Yeah.
Now I always thought that meant no place for heaven and earth. But you know what? No place for hiding.
Right.
You know, these people riding up there in Portland, Seattle, and all them places, they go in hiding.
Yeah.
If it was me, if I was in policeman, I'd have video cameras set everywhere. I'd have surveillance. I'd have drones flying over. I'd have surveillance from every angle could be surveyed. But listen, at the great white throne judgment, no hiding place, Brother Ed. Like I said, I always associated that verse, and it may very well be. It says, the heaven fled away. No more heaven. The earth fled away. No more earth. And there was found no place for them. I'll tell you why I say I think it may mean people. Because verse 12 says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. I want you to know, no hiding place, standing before God. And if that ain't bad enough, look here. And the books were opened. I mean, it's bad enough to get caught with the wrong book in your hand. To get caught like this. But can you imagine when a book's been opened that's got every detail that you've ever done?
Yeah.
And everybody's looking
at
the pages. Thank God for grace.
Amen.
I'll take grace any day of the week.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Hey, mine's in the sea of forgiveness. Mine, as far as the east is from the west. You go ahead, when the books are open, you'll say, throw me in the lake of fire.
Yeah, that's right.
You know that rider, he threw one of them motel cocktails, and it got on him, they're trying to put his feet out on fire, and he's kicking and screaming, and they're rolling him and beating his feet, and he takes off running. You know, I'm just telling you, buddy.
That's something.
He caused his own problems.
That's right.
Books are going to be open. You read about the last of Malachi talks about in a book of remembrance was written.
Yeah.
I don't want to be reminded of what I've done. I'm glad, praise God, it's in the sea of forgiveness. Amen. The books were open and another book was open. Thank God for this book. Which is the book of life. Do you notice that two different books?
Yeah, right.
And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to the works. I don't want nobody to see what I've done. Mm-hmm. Anybody remember Perry Mason?
Yeah.
I don't want one of them episodes of my life. When they bring out everything you've done, and there you are saying, somebody please shoot me, put me out of my misery. I've had enough of this. Hey, listen, the books are going to be opened. Thank God for a book of life. Amen.
Right.
And the sea, you know old Bin Laden, you know where he is? They buried him at sea.
Right.
The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever, thank God I'm a whosoever, was not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. I'm glad, praise God, I'm one of those whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad I'm in the book of life. And listen, if you ain't in the book of life, you ain't going to make it.
That's right.
Yeah. No hiding, please. Standing before God, guilty as guilty can be, and the books are going to be opened.
That's right.
God help us to understand that Jesus went through what He went through, as bad as it was, just so we could be forgiven.
Yeah.
What makes me love Him, Patrick?
That's right.
I mean, I can't understand that kind of love. I was trying to tell Brother Donnie. I said, we love those that love us. He loved those that hated Him.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right.
He loved those that, you know, Tammy done a good job blowing that picture up.
Yeah.
He loved those that drove the nails in His hands and in His feet.
Amen.
I can't understand that kind of love.
Right.
But thank God He's got it. Amen.
Amen. He does.
I may not understand that kind of love, Brother Ed, but thank God there is that kind of love. Thank God for the love of God has been shed abroad upon our hearts. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him will not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
He that hath the Son hath life. Thank God for the plan of God. You may not understand it, but don't miss heaven. I'm telling you, come to Jesus. Lay hold on eternal life.
Amen.
Don't believe a lie. Don't miss heaven. Understanding. You know, we go to school for understanding. And some people think they got, you know, they got so many degrees, Brother Danny, you can call them Dr. Fahrenheit. They think they got the upper hand. They think they're the elite, you know what I mean? They're in their utopia. They think, you know, that they've arrived and we're behind.
Right.
Hey, I have no sense to say, what about you?
Me too.
Woo! Hey, glory to God. Anybody else have enough sense to say?
Amen.
Hey, glory.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
I'll take a double portion right now.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm glad it's free. I couldn't afford it. I couldn't find it without the help of God. I couldn't get it without the help of God. But thank God, even my limited understanding,
Amen.
I found it. Amen. I got it, glory to God.
Amen.
Woo! Hey, I tell you, man, I do you no good, but if you're as bad as sinners, old Brother Eddie, hey, I'd have to sit up here and wait till you got done. I say, just let them alone. It'll be all right.
Yeah.
You know, when your mama calls you a fanatic, you know you've earned something. My mama said, when you get home, look up the word fanatic. God, she said, that's what I was. I still am, amen. Nobody never loved me like He loved me. Nobody ever done for me what He's done for me. Hey, He cleaned me, set me free. I'm free indeed. Hey, gave me a home in heaven. He's coming back for me.
Yeah, there you go.
Woo! We may not understand it, but praise God, we can still have it.
Amen.
Father, thank You for the message today.
Yes.
Thank You for these that are before us today.
Yes.
Thank You, Father, for those that are hearing this message
by
way of the internet. Lord, bless old Brother Bob Malkin up there in Ohio real good.
Yes.
Lord, if he hears this message, I'll know about it because he'll call me shouting off the phone there. Glory! Hallelujah.
Yes.
Lord, I agree with Your word. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We say so little. We shout so little. We sing so little. Thank You for the good singing here today. Thank You for the shouting here today. Thank You for the hands that were raised here today.
Lord,
get honor and glory always here.
Yes, Father.
I pray You'll be a Lord, not only welcome here, but I pray, God, Lord, we'll always love You supremely here.
Yes.
And Lord, for all these favors, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ask everybody to stand, please. Get Brother Jerry, if you would, Sister Sharon. Just sing a verse of invitation to him. I believe everybody here is good to go. But listen, if you got an issue, poor Brother Eddie maybe stepped on your toe, maybe brought something to your mind, you maybe need to do something, I'm here for